Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om 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 Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
So now, this evening, we're going to read from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 9. Mother Yashoda binds Lord Krishna. And we will read text 19. Evam sandarshita hyanga harina britya vashyata swavashe napi krishnena yasyedam seshvaram vashe. Translation. O Maharaj Parikshit, this entire universe, with its great exalted demigods like Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, and Lord Indra, is under the control of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yet, the Supreme Lord has one transcendental attribute. He comes under the control of his devotees. This was now exhibited by Krishna in this pastime. Well, of course, actually, the Supreme Lord has more than one transcendental attribute. He has an unlimited number, but this is very outstanding, special, transcendental attribute, and it is really displayed in this Damodar Leela very, very vividly. Okay, so let us read the purport here by Srila Prabhupada. This pastime of Krishna's is very difficult to understand, but devotees can understand it. It is therefore said, Darshayams tad vidam loka atmano bhakta vashyatam, which is from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 11, Text 9. This is Chapter 9 we're in here. The Lord displays the transcendental attribute of coming under the control of his devotees. As stated in Brahma Samhita, Chapter 5, Verse 35, Ekopyaso rachaitum jagadanda kotim yas chakti rasti jagadanda chaya yadanta andanta rasta paramanu chayanta rastam govindam adi purusham tamaham bhajami. By his one plenary portion as Paramatma, the Lord controls innumerable universes with all their demigods. Yet he agrees to be controlled by a devotee. In the Upanishads, it is said that the Supreme Personality of Godhead can run with more speed than the mind. But here we see that although Krishna wanted to avoid being arrested by his mother, he was finally defeated, and Mother Yashoda captured him. Lakshmi Sahasra Shata Sambrahma, Savior Mahanam, which is Brahma Samhita 529. Krishna is served by hundreds and thousands of goddesses of fortune. Nonetheless, he steals butter like one who is poverty stricken. Yamaraj, the controller of all living entities, fears the order of Krishna. Yet Krishna is afraid of his mother's stick. These contradictions cannot be understood by one who is not a devotee, but a devotee can understand how powerful is unalloyed devotional service to Krishna. It is so powerful that Krishna can be controlled by an unalloyed devotee. This Britya Vashyata does not mean that he is under the control of the servant. Rather, he is under the control of the servant's pure love. In Bhagavad Gita 1:21, it is said that Krishna became the chariot driver of Arjuna. Arjuna ordered him, Senayor Ubayo Madhye Ratam Stapaya Mechuta. My dear Krishna, you have agreed to be my charioteer and to execute my orders. Place my chariot between the two armies of soldiers. Krishna immediately executed this order, and therefore one may argue that Krishna also is not independent. But this is one's ajnana, ignorance. Krishna is always fully independent. When he becomes subordinate to his devotees, this is a display of Ananda Chinmaya Rasa, the humor of transcendental qualities that increases his transcendental pleasure. Everyone worships Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and therefore he sometimes desires to be controlled by someone else. Such a controller can be no one else but a pure devotee. Let's read the verse again. Evam sandarshita hyanga harina britya vashyata swavashenapi krishnena yas yedam seshvaram vashe. Oh, Maharaj Parikshit, this entire universe with its great exalted demigods, like Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, and Lord Indra, is under the control of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yet, the Supreme Lord has one transcendental attribute. He comes under the control of his devotees. This was now exhibited by Krishna in this pastime. Are we going to try another mic, or will we just stick with this? It's working at the moment. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nera Vishesha Shunyavadi Pastyutyadi Shatarane Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Shivasati Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Vajkava Tarubhyas Jayakripa Sindhu Vyenacha Paditanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Yes, so this this is such an important pastime that the whole month is dedicated to to this pastime and named after the pastime. If anyone wants to come forward, there is a little room here, not a lot, but okay. Yeah, so Krishna appeared in this world. We celebrate Krishna Janmashtami for a day. And we have a few festivals here and there, different halls around Durban. But generally, it's mostly celebrated for one day. And Gopanima one day. This is normally how it works. But this Damodar Leela is celebrated for a month. And the whole month is named after it. It doesn't necessarily mean, really, that, you know, that this pastime is 30 times more important than Krishna's appearance. But it's definitely a significant thing, point to consider. And because the point which is made in this pastime is just so extremely important, it is practically the essence of Krishna consciousness. And that is that Lord Krishna is completely independent, as Srila Prabhupada points out here towards the end of the purport. You cannot just order Krishna around, as some people may think, that just give me this, give me that, or something like this. Either you give me what I want, or I will convert. Just see Krishna, take that. I may convert. Tough luck for you, Krishna. I may become a Christian. So you cannot force Krishna. He's completely independent. And yet, this characteristic which is displayed so clearly in this whole pastime is that the Lord, under certain circumstances only, loses his independence. Not easily. You cannot buy him off. You cannot force him. You cannot trick him. That I will make it look like I am a great devotee. And in that way, Krishna will give me whatever it is I want. And then I'll just say, goodbye, Krishna. Ha ha, I tricked you. I fooled you. No. You know what is said. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, when he's talking about the marketplace of the holy name, the Namahata, the marketplace of the holy name. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, depending on how much faith you have, you will get the holy name to that degree. If you have a little faith, you'll get a little bit of the mercy of the holy name. If you have full faith, you'll get the full mercy of the holy name. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur makes the point then that if you have false faith, not real faith, you're trying to maybe utilize the holy name for some material purpose, and you don't have faith that this is Krishna and that I should serve Krishna, and this is the principal way, chanting the holy names, the principal way I should try to please Krishna by glorifying him, with real feeling. So if you have some false type of faith, some illusory type of faith which is not really connected with it, then you get, he says actually, if you have counterfeit faith. Did you ever get one of those 200 rand notes about a year or two ago? You heard about them? Yeah. Take it into the bank and they confiscate it. There's 200 rands down the drain. So counterfeit. So if you have counterfeit faith, you try to make it look like you have faith, but you have another idea, not actual transcendental faith. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, you get the counterfeit holy name. And you can chant it as much as you like, but it will not have any effect. Yeah. So Krishna, my point here is that Krishna, he comes under the control of his devotees sometimes, means some devotees, and not easily, but he does sometimes. And in that way he gives up his independence, and that's very remarkable, very amazing. Because who can control God? As Prabhupada pointed out in the purport, that Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, Lord Indra, they are afraid of Krishna. And therefore they're careful to do what they're meant to do. And they're careful not to do something they're not meant to do because they're afraid, they don't want to get into trouble with Krishna. And fear, there is such a thing, at least referred to as fear personified. Fear personified. But fear personified is afraid of Krishna. But Krishna is afraid of Mother Yashoda. And he's running in fear, panic stations, somehow is trying to escape Mother Yashoda. Oh, it's very serious. Big chase scene. So how powerful is Mother Yashoda? It's inconceivable. The whole universe is running out of fear of Krishna. Everyone's doing the right things, at least the managers of the universe, the demigods. But Krishna's running in fear of Mother Yashoda. So Prabhupada makes the point that it is not exactly that the devotee can control Krishna, but it's the devotee's love which controls Krishna. Yes. And we see in this pastime, Mother Yashoda, she was trying to catch Krishna and she couldn't catch Krishna. But then her love, her mood of motherly, loving concern, that I want to discipline, train my child, give him a good lesson, so he really learns something, not to be a big nonsense. Because Krishna was really a big nonsense. He was a maha nonsense. Because he broke the pot that where the yogurt was being churned into butter in. Then he broke a whole lot of other pots. And all the contents, all different dairy products, fell out onto the ground. What a mess. Talk about a mother's nightmare. And then he ate as much butter as he could manage. And he was feeding the rest to the monkeys. Do we have any monkeys here? Is that a monkey? Take some butter. Monkey's refusing, see? There's another one. Monkey, take some butter. The monkey's refusing. And the monkeys were refusing. And Mother Yashoda came back in. And Krishna said, just see, your butter's so bad, even the monkeys won't eat it. And then Mother Yashoda felt, sure, we have to do something here. Sometimes Krishna would be a little naughty, a little mischievous, and she'd overlook it. Oops, Hare Krishna, Hare Bol. But this time it was serious, and she was really serious. She wouldn't overlook it. So she tried to catch him, but she couldn't catch him. And all the time as she's running after him, that mood of motherly concern, not just a mood of anger, that this naughty rascal, I'm just going to give him a whack. Not that sort of mood, but that mood of real concern. I've got to help my child. Because my child, if my child continues on like this, his life will become a failure. And he'll suffer if he's just a big nonsense. How can he be successful in love? Today he's stealing butter. When he gets a little older, he may steal motor carts or ox carts, buffalo carts. And everyone will wonder, what sort of mother did this person have? What sort of useless mother who couldn't train her son properly and he's become a complete delinquent social misfit? So she was really concerned. And that mood increased and increased and increased until it just overflowed. Then Krishna became controlled. Then Krishna became controlled. It's not just that he's controlled all the time, but sometimes by some special devotees. At other times he exhibits his independence, and Prabhupada makes the point in the purport. This is inconceivable. This is inconceivable. That he's so unlimitedly powerful. These massive demigods, these incredibly powerful demigods, they are just totally in another dimension altogether compared to your typical human being. But particularly someone like Mother Yashoda, who is a middle-aged housewife. Middle-aged. 40-something perhaps. Krishna came late. They had not had a child. And then Krishna came. They were already, you know, like 40-ish, something like that. Yeah. So it's really inconceivable how Krishna, so just, we cannot conceive how powerful, is way beyond us. But he's being controlled by just some lady, housewife. Completely controlled. It's inconceivable. This is Krishna. Krishna's inconceivable, but as Prabhupada says, this pastime of Krishna's is very difficult to understand, but devotees can understand it. Yes, others can't. You may have heard, we've told the story a couple of times now, how two of our devotees, many years ago, they were having an argument about Krishna and Balaram. Now, if you're going to have an argument, at least have one about Krishna and Balaram. So it was Madhu Devisa Prabhu Some of you, I imagine, would have heard of him. Very famous devotee, very nice devotee, who just passed away about, I guess, a couple of months ago, something like that. Some of you, I'm sure, would have been aware. And the other devotee was Mother Yamuna, the famous cook. And another very famous devotee, who was very dear to Srila Prabhupada, who also just passed away a little bit before, what, a year or two, I forget. But something like that. So both very nice devotees, and they're having this argument. Are Krishna and Balaram the same, or are they really different? And Madhu Dvisa said, they're the same. There's a difference in color, but that doesn't really matter. They're the same. They're just the same. They have the same qualities, the same powers, just the same. So they're the same. And Mother Yamuna said, no, they're different. Because Krishna is the only enjoyer of Srimati Radharani, not Lord Balaram. So they're having this argument back and forth. And His Holiness Tamal Krishna Goswami, another very well-known, even better well-known actually, devotee, who also passed away, but that was about 10 years ago or something like that. Prabhupada was there around somewhere. Prabhupada took, Tamal Krishna Goswami took them to Srila Prabhupada, and he sat them down and he explained to Prabhupada that, look, Prabhupada muttered, oops, see, this is very sensitive. You're not even meant to look at it. The vibration. So he said, Prabhupada, Madhu Dvisa Prabhu says Krishna and Balaram are the same. There's a difference in color, but it doesn't matter. They're the same, really. And Srila Prabhupada said, he's right. He's right. And then Tamal Krishna Goswami said, but Mother Yamuna says, this is Mother Yamuna again. Mother Yamuna says that they're not the same because Krishna is the only enjoyer of Srimati Radharani, not Balaram. Prabhupada said, she's right. And Tamal Krishna goes, he said, but Prabhupada, they can't both be right. And Prabhupada said, you're right. And Tamal Krishna goes, he said, but Prabhupada, how can we understand this? And Prabhupada said, you decide. In other words, it's okay. Don't worry. Don't stress about it. It's just completely transcendental. So Krishna's inconceivable. He's amazing. How could he be so powerful? So totally powerful. And on one hand, a middle-aged housewife can control him completely. It does not make sense. As they used to say when I was a child, would you believe? When I was a child, we had Doctor Who on television. The first time. And there was this little mobile computer would go running around. And when he couldn't figure something out, he would say, it does not compute. It does not compute. So this does not compute. It just doesn't compute. But it does. And your average person couldn't really get the idea. Because they don't understand love. They don't understand the power of love and the influence that love has on the beloved. Yes. But devotees do. And even beginning devotees, relatively beginning devotees, it doesn't take very long before they start to get the idea of it, at least to some degree, that the key to everything, the whole idea is to develop love for Krishna. Plus, on the other hand, the other part of the idea is to become such a person who Krishna will love, who Krishna will feel about. Krishna will feel that for this devotee, I'll do anything for this devotee. This is love. You know, not that I'll do anything for you as long as you pay me sufficiently. But I'll just do anything for this devotee because this devotee will do anything for me. And Krishna feels so. I reciprocate. Baladev Vijayabhushan, in his commentary on Bhagavad Gita, makes the point that the devotee loves Krishna so much, means like Mother Yashoda, that sort of devotee, loves Krishna so much that Krishna says, even though I am Sarva Gya, means I know everything, omniscient, I know everything, still I cannot understand how much my devotee loves me. And therefore I reciprocate in the same way, unlimitedly. Of course, that's another level again, but yes, so that the devotees can understand these things by the grace of the Lord. And for the devotees, it's not like a contradiction. Oh, what is this? It's a contradiction. It's nonsense. It doesn't make sense. We don't like it. But the devotee understands it's a contradiction, of course, on the material level. But the devotee understands the transcendental workings behind the scenes which make it make sense. Yes. So the idea is in Krishna consciousness that we should try to develop love for Krishna following in the footsteps of Mother Yashoda. In a sense, that should be easy because Krishna is very lovable. Oh, he's such a person. What a person. Now talk about a nice, kind person. Sure, he's amazing. Even though the people here, you know, the people in this world in general, they don't like him. And many of them dislike God. They dislike. And like the fanatical born-again Christians and the Muslims, if you tell them, Krishna, very nice, wonderful, they get so upset. And they'll say so many really bad things about Krishna. Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. I mean, don't bother trying it, okay? Because, you know, you'll just get upset. But despite that, he does everything for them anyway. He gives them their bodies and whatever here within this material world to maintain them. And Prabhupada makes the point elsewhere. Krishna is so kind that the atheistic philosopher, Nietzsche, who said, God is dead, he's the first one. who came up with that slogan, God is dead. And, you know, in his own way, he's extremely intelligent, or at least extremely clever. There's a difference between being clever and being intelligent. Yeah. Anyway, despite being extremely clever, anyway, he was really very, very clever. And with his cleverness, he was thinking up a philosophy. He was thinking, I want to prove God is dead. I want to prove God is dead through logic, argument, you know, establish it like that. And Prabhupada made the point that Krishna is so merciful that he gave Nietzsche, and, you know, your typical atheistic philosopher, he has given them their intelligence so they can come up with some clever philosophy in an attempt to prove that God is dead. Krishna gave them the intelligence. It's amazing. Krishna is so kind. Krishna is lovable. On the other hand, we are not so lovable. Don't mind me saying it, nice devotees. But we are prone to be a bit selfish sometimes. What's in it for me? And, you know, not so open-hearted to just give everything to Krishna. Yeah, so we're not so lovable. We're not so lovable like Krishna. But Krishna is extremely lovable. So in that sense, it should be relatively easy to develop love for him. But then to develop love for us, well, how will we become so lovable, so full of such wonderful qualities, and having so much affection and care for Krishna, and not for ourselves, ready to do anything for Krishna? Well, you know, that's a little way off, isn't it? It takes time to come to that point. So Prabhupada, in one class on Bhagavad Gita, he said, this is Krishna consciousness. How will Krishna love me? How will I become such a person that Krishna will feel I cannot live without this person, and therefore I am taking this person with me because I cannot tolerate being without this person. So this is the case here with Mother Yashoda. She's such an exceptional devotee, unique devotee. Very amazing devotee, controlling Krishna. When Mother Yashoda would tell Krishna, Haribol, jump, Krishna would jump. See, you didn't jump, did you? But if I was Mother Yashoda, and you were Krishna, and I said, Krishna, jump, you jump. And when Mother Yashoda tells Krishna, Krishna, sit down, Krishna sits down right now, on the spot. X marks the spot. So this is the power of love. It's amazing. And we should try to develop love for Krishna, try to appreciate Krishna, and in that way, through appreciating Krishna, get the realization that really, it's just the right thing to do, to just serve Krishna and really try and dedicate myself to him. It's really just the right thing to do. So, there you have it, devotees. Now is the month of Kartik, and whatever efforts you make in devotional service, oops, Hare Krishna, sorry. You looked at it again. Excuse me. Anyway, Any service you do, any Krishna conscious activity you do, the benefit is multiplied 1,000 times. That doesn't mean that, you know, if you're doing 16 rounds, now you only need to do 1,000th of 16 rounds, and it'll be equal to 16 rounds. No, you still do your rounds. And try and do extra. It is the practice, and I'm going to put it to all of you this evening. It is the practice in this Kartik month to do some extra service. To do some extra service. Take a vow, vrata, Kartik vrata,
Damada
vrata. Damada vrata. It's the practice of devotees generally, means traditionally going back in time. It's the practice. Increase your chanting, increase your reading, increase your serving, increase something which you can manage. You don't have to try and, as we say, you don't need to become some sort of spiritual superman or spiritual batwoman and just do the impossible. No, but try to increase. Do something extra. Because there's special mercy available. And Prabhupada said that Kartik, the month of Kartik, it is like when a person has a business, if they have a shop and they're selling some goods, sometime they decide to have a sale. Every now and then, every shop has a sale. And there is no law that at this, for this period of time, your shop, you must have a sale. And you must reduce the prices by 50% or some amount. There's no law. It's just up to the shopkeeper. It's just up to the shopkeeper. And some of them, you see, for a few days before that, the sale, they put the prices up. And then they say it's a sale and they bring the prices down to the same price it was before. Anyway, it's just tricks of the trade. But Prabhupada said, so you walk into the shop when there's a sale and you can get the same goods, but now you get them for a lot less. Oh, it's an opportunity. Yes. So Prabhupada said, Kartik means Krishna is having a sale. Krishna is having a sale. The same mercy is now available a lot more easily, for a lot less, you could say, a lot less effort. So therefore there's this practice of taking some vow. So we want to ask all of you, we will not go around and ask you what your vow is, but seriously, you think about it and you see what you think you might be able to do more. Maybe chant one round more, or 5 rounds, or read some more, or something. Serve the deities better. You know, something like this. Try and preach a little more. Make a little effort for the pleasure of the Lord and get some of that extra benefit. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki Shri Kartik Vrata ki Shri Damada Vrata ki Hare Krishna. So now for the next part of the program is Guru Puja, is it?